The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, 4 p.m. Eastern is come and gone. No word yet of Odell Beckham Jr. being claimed off waivers. If it becomes official, the former Browns wide receiver will become an unrestricted free agent. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on the Odell situation throughout the show. That's your mark, Marcus Spears. Yep, he's on it now. All right, plus Aaron Rodgers spoke again. He's walking back some of his comments from Friday. We'll show you that in a few. Welcome to NFL Live. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, who's now in the right spot. Dan and RC here with you. Let's get to the latest on OBJ. We bring in Jeff Darlington for this. And, Jeff, what do we know at this point about Odell Beckham Jr.'s situation?
Well, you were asking me at the – well, it's not the perfect moment because I don't have the answer, but it's a fun moment because at 4 p.m., this is the time when teams had – to go ahead and file their waiver claim if they did want to acquire Odell Beckham Jr. So basically the way this works is all 32 teams can file a claim to claim Odell. It is prioritized from first to 32nd based on record. So if you have the worst record, you have the best shot at getting Odell if you do make that claim. So the league will then look at all these claims that come in at this very minute or have to, this is the deadline, and they'll say, okay, who has the worst record of the teams that claimed him? You have been awarded Odell Beckham Jr. You are on the hook for $7.2 million for the rest of the season. Odell will then become a free agent after this season. So any minute now, we'll find out what teams did put the claims in. We should point out if no team claimed him, though, he would become a free agent, and then he could pick his destination at any point moving forward.
Yeah, really interesting. And as Jeff said, we'll keep you updated. If Beckham, Jeff, does become a free agent in the coming hours, is there a sense of what he will value in a new team? What's he looking for?
Well, the first thing that we continue to hear is that he values a contender, that he wants to go to a place where he feels like he can potentially win a Super Bowl. So that obviously is something that you hear a lot of from players. But the interesting part there is, will he covet money as well? Because he can go get more money from a team. Like the teams that can afford Odell Beckham Jr. right now at this point in the season, given the salary cap ramifications of doing a deal with him, are not necessarily all the contending teams. So he'd probably have to take less money to do exactly that. Something, though, that we do anticipate Odell Beckham will look at.
Yeah, a couple things kind of working against each other there to Jeff's point. Jeff, if anything happens, we're coming right back to you, so you're sticking around.
I'll be right here
for the rest of the hour. Good to know. And between a series of missed games and a lack of connection, Odell Beckham Jr.'s time in Cleveland was a far cry from what we saw while he was in New York, right? From 2014 to 2018, OBJ ranked top five in the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, targets per game. In that time, he was averaging nearly 100 yards. And while it's been a few years, interest in the wideout is still high. Actually, here's what a certain coach in Seattle had to say.
You'll have to wait and see how this all goes. But at this time, I don't know. I've been on the practice field. I don't know what's going on with any of it. As you would think, we're aware of what's going on, and we've been involved to understand it and competing to know what's happening. We'll let you know as it all happens. I got to wait. So I didn't say yes or I didn't say no, but that's just because you'll see. He's a really good football player. He's as talented as you could be in the years past. And so, you're always looking for guys that can do special stuff. I've shared with you guys that we're looking for uniqueness and people that are different than other people and give you different dimensions to their play. So that's what we're trying to figure out, investigate, and see if there's a chance and all that kind of stuff, if it makes sense.
All right, well, that was pretty interesting. The Seahawks already being thrown around anyway. Would Beckham make sense with Seattle?
Trying to manifest it. It does make sense. It's not a need for them. We keep hearing that the defense has been a bigger issue. Obviously, they're rich at wide receiver. But they're not going to fix the defense right now. Right. There aren't, defensive backs roaming around they can grab. So, in my mind, why not make your offense better and maximize it? Also, Seattle has struggled at times versus those two high shells. I think Odell actually solves some of those problems with what he's able to do underneath. And listen, you guys know, imagine being any member of a secondary and trying to defend DK Metcalf, OBJ, and Tyler, who'd probably be in the slot on the field at the same time. It sounds like a nightmare. But there's a lot of teams that make sense. I mean, we're going to talk about some of them. I'll just throw out another one I think makes a ton of sense, New England. That's a team that is on the ascent in terms of their playoff contention. And this weekend against Carolina, only 4 catches by wide receivers. Yeah. They have not gotten production out of that position. We know Bill Belichick would like to add him.
Kansas City, get on the phone, please, and unlock some things about who you are as a football team. We've talked about your struggles here since the damn season started on this show. And we understand that you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That is not enough anymore. It's time to add another piece to that. Dan, you brought it up. They need a number 2 at receiver. Yeah. They haven't found one. Look, Mecole Hardman is a good player. He's a piece to what you're trying to do. He's flexibility, jet sweep motions, getting the ball in his hands quickly and allowing him to make plays. But then if you get Odell Beckham Jr., you got to make a decision at that point. Like, all right, so we're going to keep doubling Tyreek. We're going to keep bracketing Travis Kelce. And we're going to find out if Odell Beckham Jr. can play football. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes would love to have him.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? Actually, we do have some news on Beckham right now. Jeff, what do we know?
Come on.
So Odell Beckham Jr. has gone unclaimed. No one filed a waiver claim. This, according to the league source texting me right now. So he is officially a free agent for the first time in his career.
Say, bro.
That means that he obviously can choose wherever he wants to go. And this will be a situation where he could play for the minimum and go play for whatever team he wanted. Or he could try to get more money at a team that maybe is trying to land a coveted wide receiver on the market.
Hey, bro, talk about though. Don't y'all ever do that to me again.
I was like,
don't y'all ever swing me to Jeff Darlington or Adam Schefter at a certain time when we talking about we got some news and you tell me the news I already knew. I was all ready for some hash.
Well, hey, listen,
y'all ain't got no dang
hash. Let me just tell you something. There's a little bit of like suspense here in the TV
business. Like, where'd he go?
We all kind of thought but there was that moment where you thought, hey, maybe something happened.
Sun's gonna rise tomorrow.
Jeff built it up.
Yeah,
Jeff
good
built
job,
it up,
Jeff.
He got me.
Looking at the phone and stuff.
I'm thinking Detroit had claimed the man. I was
He's like looking at his grocery list on his phone.
That
but
they didn't. Everybody here is happy.
I hope he signs with the Chiefs and Marcus Woods. Would the Chiefs run the damn ball?
Yeah, probably would.
He's still going to say the same thing.
Here's the thing about OBJ. No one is saying that he can't play, right? We all know he's talented. But is he still a difference maker for a team?
I don't believe he is. I don't think he's a scheme changer. I think he can be an impactful piece. There's this saying in football, specifically quarterback wide receiver-wise, be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Don't fool the quarterback. And I think that was part of the issue in Cleveland was a little bit of freedom when it came to his route running. Mm. Now, some offenses promote that. Some offenses don't. And I think with Odell, he can still be a top 15, top 20 receiver if he goes to the place that allows that in his game. Mina mentioned the Patriots. I completely agree. The only caveat would be is – they're a place where you better be where you're supposed
Seattle
to be.
And Kansas City make more sense
right.
with what you're describing.
The thing I do like about New England is that's a scheme that is dependent or built upon, I'm going to build it around a certain guy, right? In this play, I want you to be here. The other team I would throw out, and it is the freedom aspect, is the Green Bay Packers. I think those are the two most likely teams in the best situations for OBJ.
Hey, so
New England and Green Bay?
Yes.
Yeah, so in watching Odell Beckham Jr., if you think about the beginning of his career, it was very Randy Moss-like.
Yeah.
Right? His effect on the league was like that. And then Randy Moss went to Oakland, and we forgot that he could play football. Right? It was 2 years that looked very much like Odell Beckham's years. He averaged around 3-point-something yards a catch. He averaged around 53, 54 yards. And he had, I think, like 11, 12 touchdowns. OBJ had 7. And then he went somewhere where they had a quarterback who knew how to get him the football.
Yeah. There you go.
And the same way, I am convinced that Odell Beckham Jr. has been running routes the way that he's run routes his entire life. And I think he was running them like that with Eli Manning.
He was.
And it seemed to work out then. And so all I'm saying is he doesn't have to be a piece that's going to change your team schematically. But I do still believe he has juice. And I do still believe he can have a large impact.
Yeah.
It's going to be about his priorities. If he figures out his priorities and that list lines up with the right team, I think he can be someone that changes the destination for a team.
Most of them fire wide receivers jerseys hanging up right along with their quarterbacks in them stadiums.
Yeah, you need that guy to throw it to you, right? Okay, so I'm not sure if the Eagles are going to be one of those teams that he wants to go to, but Darius Slay is making a case here, as now we know that Odell Beckham Jr. officially unclaimed, and he's a free agent for the first time in his career.
Slay's stupid.
He said, hey, OBJ, we haven't played the Giants yet this juicier, just saying. I like that, though, because that plays to exactly.
That's because Slay don't want to cover him.
It plays to exactly what he knows OBJ might care about, though. All right, more news out of Cleveland, you guys. Some that, of course, Odell's former team. Guard Wyatt Teller and the Browns have agreed to a 4-year contract extension. GM Andrew Berry said Teller has turned himself into one of the top guards in the game. You can see it right there on the film, and plenty more consistency there. You see Nick Chubb running in that clip. Well, how about this? Nick Chubb and Demetric Felton tested positive for COVID-19. They're both vaccinated, so their status Sunday against the Patriots remains in question. Both players would, of course, need 2 negative tests within 24 hours apart to play. Mina, how big of a deal is it if Chubb can't play against the Pats?
It's a bummer because this game is the one of the weekend that I'm looking forward to the most. And look, we obviously have seen the Browns perform very well without Chubb and Hunt. D'Ernest Johnson, who I believe is going to be available, looked extremely effective. But we also saw last week what makes Chubb such an incredible pure rusher, not just the vision, the tackle breaking ability, but the explosiveness that he hits at that second level. That's where he stands alone.
You mentioned D'Ernest Johnson. He's still available, as you said. He's vaccinated, has tested negative up until this point, so we'll keep an eye on that. Another big story today, let's get to Aaron Rodgers, who's still on the COVID list as an unvaccinated player. Friday, his appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, over 45 minutes of explaining his stance against getting vaccinated, got a ton of attention. Well, here's his stance from a couple hours ago, also on Pat McAfee's show.
I understand that people are suffering, and this has been a really difficult time for the last 2 years on so many people. I think we all know individuals who've lost their lives personally, people who've lost their businesses, their livelihoods, their way of life has been altered completely, and I empathize with those things. And I also know how sports can be such a connector and bring people together in times of adversity. And I do realize that I am a role model to a lot of people. And so I just want to start off this show by acknowledging that, you know, I made some comments that people might have felt were misleading. And, to anybody who felt misled by those comments, I take full responsibility for those comments. And I'm excited about feeling better. I'm excited about moving forward and hopefully getting back with my team and getting back to doing what I do best, and that's playing ball. It's been tough to be away from it. I'm an athlete, I'm not an activist. So I'm gonna get back to doing what I do best. And that's playing ball. Like, I shared my opinion. It wasn't one that was come to frivolously. It involved a lot of study and what I felt like was in my best interest for my body. But further comments, I'm gonna keep between myself and my doctors, and I don't have any further comments about any of those things after this interview.
All right, Dan, what'd you take away from Rodgers today?
It sounds like he's ready to get back to playing football, which is great. I mean, like he said, it's what he does best. I'm excited for that aspect of Aaron Rodgers. That's the guy that I've known for a long time, is dude on the field playing quarterback. So I'm excited that he looks forward to getting back to playing football.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so Mike Tomlin is part of that competition committee. Mina, what do you make of all this with the taunting that really dominated the story in this game?
Overshadowing incredible Justin Fields' performance. It stinks. It's frustrating because there are NFL rules I don't like and points of emphasis. I mean, some of the roughing calls, they frustrate me, but at least there's logic behind them. The league is trying to protect quarterbacks. You can disagree with them, but there's logic.
Sure.
There's no logic to this. Like, I hear Tomlin and John Mara this summer citing, you know, not wanting bad sportsmanship, but that wasn't bad sportsmanship. It wasn't a bad influence on children to have them looking at the bench. It was a bad call that changed the outcome of a game. And that's where I think this gets so problematic for the league, because you're actively making the product worse, the sport less fun and less fair, and you run the risk of alienating fans.
Let me quickly jump in here before you go, Marcus. The NFL rulebook, Section 3, Article 1, prohibited acts. Oh, you want to read it?
No, you go
You
ahead.
Read it instead of me, because it might be more fun. All right, using baiting or taunting acts or words that may engender ill will between teams.
That don't mean nothing.
Come on. Go ahead.
It's ill will before the game starts. That's number one.
You want to beat
number
them.
Two is you can't do what Marsh did, but you can get an interception and run to the other end zone and celebrate.
And they'll put a camera.
And they'll put a camera on you. And Aaron Rodgers can tell the crowd, "I own you," and nobody says anything. Like, to your point, the policing of taunting is discretion. And that's horrible when you try to implement a rule that certain referees want to. We all. They got referees in the NFL that want to flex. They want to be a part of the game. They want their name somewhere in the headline. And to me, when Tony bumped into Cassius Marsh and threw that flag, if you watched the little petty hand, it was personal.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like, man.
Yeah, I think you can't make this call subjective. If there's going to be certain rules or certain things that are officiated in this, they need to be definitive. I need to know that I can't stare at people. I need to know that I can't flex my muscles. I need to know that what I've worked my entire life to do, the thing that I've stayed up from 5 in the morning till midnight every single night, the thing that I've gotten therapy and needles stuck from my neck to my ankles, the reason I've been in cold tubs and hot tubs every single morning, and the reason I've ran through film 80 million times was so I can make that one play.
That one play.
And you mean to tell me on that one play, I got to calm all that down that went into this because somebody who can't do what I do, who ain't never done what I done, and don't know what this feeling is like, gets offended by it? Man, I wish I freaking would.
It's a good word right there. That's a good word right there.
Bye-bye.
Reach past.
Coming off of what you said, I try not to be this person, but this is one of those examples where it's unfair to ask somebody to be in that moment who has no idea what it's like to be in that moment. I agree that it was personal with Corrente, but they should not be asking the officials to make subjective calls because they have no idea what it's like to be in that moment and feel that type of emotion. Football's fun only when you're good at it.
Yep.
Football at its core is one-on-one.
100%.
And the best part is proving to the other guy, I just got the best of you. And if you've never done it, you don't know what it's like.
Bro, no, it did nothing.
I know.
It did nothing to the game.
It does, like, well, except for this particular call.
No, I'm saying Cassius Marsh. That did nothing.
The call then did actually determine a lot in this game. A developing story here on NFL Live as the 4 p.m. deadline to claim OBJ off of waivers has come and gone. So officially unclaimed, and now he's a free agent for the first time in his career. Adam Schefter joining us now on the phone. Adam, what more can you tell us about OBJ and what's next for him?
Well, Lori, now that he's officially cleared waivers, he can talk to whichever team, coach, player he'd like. And I think what Odell is looking for is over the course of the coming days to be able to speak to organizations to get their ideas about how they would like to use him, about how his role would evolve in that particular offense. A lot of times you see a player who clears waivers, strike a deal right away. I don't think that's going to happen with Odell. And when I say right away, I mean today. I think this may take a couple of days, but I certainly expect him to have a deal in place by the end of the week, because if he's on a roster by Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, he gets paid for this week. And if he's not, then he doesn't. There's no reason to take this decision past Saturday when he would lose a week worth of salary. So he has a few days here, 2-3 days, to talk to organizations, get an idea of their thoughts for him and his thoughts for them, and make a decision. And I think what he's looking for is a team that will be a playoff contender, a team with a good quarterback, a place that he's comfortable. And so when we use that criteria, to me, the teams that fit that criteria would be Green Bay, Kansas City, New England, Seattle, New Orleans. And then it's a question of what he wants to do and what these organizations pitch to him would be. And again, like I said, I think he'll take the next couple of days to talk to them and then make a decision about where he wants to spend the remainder of the 2021 season.
Adam, I'm just visualizing OBJ in his new uniform. He could play this weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If he gets a deal done this week, he could be active for this week. Although I would think the longer he goes this week without getting a deal, with each day that passes, the less likely it is that he would be active. But there's no reason that a team couldn't sign him and have a small package of plays for him this weekend, depending on where he goes, depending on what the need is, depending on how quickly he could or couldn't pick up certain elements of the offense. But to me, there's no doubt this is the first time in his career, the very first time, that he gets to choose where he wants to go. He didn't pick the Giants. The Giants drafted him. He didn't pick the Browns. The Browns traded for him. Now he's a free agent, and he can go wherever he wants. And I think he'll spend 2-3 days trying to figure out exactly where that is, although I'm sure in his mind he's probably got a pretty good idea already.
Absolutely. All right, Adam Schefter with the latest on OBJ. Adam, staying close in case anything else happens. We appreciate you. Let's get to the Chargers. Justin Herbert was on fire Sunday after a couple rough weeks. It was against the Eagles defense, but still, the most yards by any quarterback week 9, 356 yards to be exact. Mina, if you're looking for one indicator that Justin Herbert is playing well, what would that be?
Well, you know, it's interesting coming off of this game because so much of his success came within structure and rhythm, which, you know, makes sense given the Eagles' defense. I personally was really heartened just by seeing his athleticism on display. I mean, they had him on the move a lot. The first touchdown, you see him booting out, unsurprisingly, again. And then you see Josh Sweat, the edge rusher, basically accounting for him, which is something you're actually seeing across the NFL right now with defenses playing the boot. But it's especially a threat with Justin Herbert because of the threat he poses with his legs. Now here, this is the third touchdown. Again, that's Josh Sweat. Herbert doesn't even wait a second. He sees the crease and he runs through it because he can. There's nothing sneaky about his athleticism. He's one of the faster quarterbacks in the NFL. He is big, strong, and he should be on the move. That's something I want to see more often.
100% MK. And you saw that defense start to waver a little bit when they realized he was going to go early, just like Pittsburgh did with Justin Fields last night. Listen, this is about Justin Herbert. The Los Angeles Chargers are going to go as far as their quarterback. And the way he played against the Philadelphia Eagles, I know everybody's saying, oh, it's the Philly Eagles. Justin Herbert had to take that game over in order for them to win the game. And not only that, the confidence from his coach to allow him to be in these moments and say, you are the best player on the field, and we are depending on you to make things happen. But also what I like too, MK, and you know I always come back to it, I like that they didn't abandon the run completely. It wasn't all successful runs. It wasn't anything that would put you in the mindset of, oh, we can continue to hand the ball off to Austin Eckler and we can churn yards. It was just enough to keep Philly soft. And Justin Herbert was able to take advantage of that, i.e. the shot that on the rollout that he threw to Mike Williams across the field, that was a result of a defense saying we have to defend this box as well.
All right, Justin Herbert and the Chargers hosting the Vikings this Sunday. They have a 59% chance to win that, according to ESPN's FBI.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Let's read and react around the NFL with the latest, and we begin with Patrick Mahomes, who averaged a career low 4.5 yards per attempt on Sunday, breaking his throws down by distance. He was 9 of 10 behind the line of scrimmage, completed 50% of his throws in the mid-range. However, on passes of 20 or more air yards, he was 0 of 5. In fact, over the last 2 weeks, he's 0-9 on such passes. So, Dan, they won the game, right? But you did see some things you didn't like about Mahomes and what he did. What were those?
I think, first of all, offensive, they're trying to search for what they're good at. But when you're watching a quarterback that's struggling, watch his feet like we did last week, and then watch his eyes. Are they reactive or proactive? We talked about the two high safeties, right, that the Chiefs are going to get offense. Corner, cover 4. You got deep,
And that linebacker's really got inside or outside. That's a read for Patrick Mahomes. Watch Travis Kelce. That linebacker is starting to flow outside. Kick the ball to Kelce, but Patrick's staring right at the back, throws it out to him, and you can't get third and three on a swing completion. Now third and 11, huge play in this game. You got four strong. Look at the check down in the flat. Travis Kelce is pointing to him. No one is near him, because look at the space on the field that is wide open. 30 yards that no one's near that check down. And it's Patrick Mahomes was a young quarterback that was super proactive with his eyes. Knew the defense, would move defenders, open up crazy windows. Right now he's reactive. What's the defense doing? Where's the guy? And that's when you play struggling football. Feet and eyes, big for him moving forward.
Yeah, Mahomes currently ranks 16th in the league in QBR. He hasn't finished a season ranked outside the top two that he's been a starter. Wow. All right, now let's get to Justin Fields and Monday Night Football. Now, listen, they didn't get the win, Mina, but there were a lot of positives about Fields, and he showed some things, especially later in the game. What'd you like last night?
Good things happen when Justin Fields throws the ball on the run. In fact, he's actually 9-for-10 throwing the ball on the run over the last couple of games. Two throws that really stood out to me just because of the level of difficulty we're working with. First, this first ball to Komet there. The corner bites on the run action. He boots left, resets. Again, perfectly placed the ball, but do not underestimate how difficult that is. And then here's the touchdown to Mooney. No resetting there. I mean, that is just that's baseball player stuff. I'm trying to think of a better way to describe it. Like, that's not a throw many quarterbacks in this league can consistently make. This is why Justin Fields is special. It's a combination of like the talent with the fearlessness, with the ability to make those kinds of throws on the run.
Whew. Dan said this earlier. Remember when people said he wasn't ready? I'll just take that line one more time because it was so good. Let's get to Baker Mayfield. His numbers were much better with Odell Beckham Jr. off the field over the last two seasons. He had a total QBR of 44 with OBJ on field, which would have ranked 25th in the NFL since his start of 2020. His total QBR of 65 with OBJ off the field would have ranked 6th. So, RC, the numbers are crazy, right? And we talked about these numbers for quite a while. It looks like you smelled something bad, and I understand. Why is the addition by subtraction for the Browns happening when OBJ is off this team?
Listen, it's absolutely confusing. Let's picture that we were a skill group and Laura was our quarterback and we were the skill players. And let's say Mina Kimes is the most special of us. She can do things that none of us can do. She's smarter than us. She watches as much film as we do and she gets the numbers. That's who Odell Beckham Jr. was. And so if Mina leaves us, this show ain't the same on Tuesday. Laura ain't as good. I ain't as good. Dan ain't as good. Marcus ain't good. But that's not how it works for Cleveland. Somehow they forget about players and they go to plays. And now Baker Mayfield isn't forcing footballs where they don't belong. Kevin Stefanski isn't dialing up plays for number 13 to get the ball. And it just works. Baker Mayfield becomes the alpha male. The play calling works to his success. And they run the football like crazy. They impose physicality. And the play action pass is the thing. We don't want to see what it's like without Mina Kimes, but obviously they're a lot better without OBJ.
Yeah, the good thing is Mina can't get rid of us whether she wants to or not. And OBJ, once again, officially unclaimed, so now he'll be headed to a new team. We'll keep you updated as we hear more on that. Let's get to Marcus Spears and a little bit more from him. As for Beckham's future, what do you think about a new destination for him? You still see him in the Browns uni, but even as early as this weekend, he could be on a new team.
Well, first of all, RC, I'm like LL Cool J in Any Given Sunday, a.k.a. Julian Washington. Get my stats. This is about Odell Beckham Jr. unlocking things for the Kansas City Chiefs. We just heard Dan allude to the problems that are happening. Well, you need an off-schedule receiver. You need a guy that can create separation in space and create trust immediately with a quarterback. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes would be a welcomed guy for Odell Beckham Jr., who hasn't played with the type of quarterback that he would desire either in this trade and transition, and even when Eli was falling off in New York. I could see this being perfectly matched. And yes, as much as I've screamed about the Kansas City Chiefs running the football, guess what's going to happen if you get Odell Beckham Jr.? You will have even more formidable boxes for you to have success in.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were able to win the game on Monday Night Football, but it got a little dicey there toward the end with the Bears putting up a strong push. T.J. Watt, 3 sacks, tied his career high, most by a Steelers player on Monday Night Football since James Harrison in 2007. We know that guy. Let's look at the Steelers season as a whole, right? Because everyone kind of wrote him off after the 1-3 start. Yep. How have they kept the hope alive as we've seen him rattle off 4 straight wins?
They have the most consistent human I've ever seen as a head coach. Like, he truly is the exact same way every day. And everything we hear post-game, we heard that junk on Monday morning. And that's the exact same way that he felt then. And he just watches the way that it plays out. I mean, but you also look at this team and you think to yourself, the Steelers, when you watch the film, it's not impressive. Sometimes when you watch them on offense, defense obviously is. But then you look at their schedule and you compare it to other teams in the AFC. They beat the Bills on the road. They beat the Cleveland Browns on the road. Yeah. But here's going to be the tough part for the Steelers. Headed toward the end of the season, they have the 4th hardest strength of schedule of any team in the NFL. And so we're going to see if this if this dominant defense, if this offense that can't necessarily always produce explosive plays, win in the end like we've seen them do in other games.
Sorry, guys. I got to be this guy.
It's
my favorite version of
it. Bears, bro. Like, I get it. I understand. And we're excited about what Justin Fields did. And we know what the Bears have been, and they finding their way. But I just, that performance last night, I cannot. Go ahead.
I have
a question.
No one is.
The Cowboys are good?
Yeah.
Are the Bills good?
Yeah.
Who the Bills beat that's better than the people the Steelers beat?
Nobody.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I'm talking about how it looks on the field. I'm not talking about that. Like, I'm looking at the Chicago Bears get dump trucked, and then I'm looking at them have to fight and make a last few minute plays to win that game.
You turned into a front runner because Dallas is good?
I have not. I was completely honest yesterday about the Dallas Cowboys, and you don't want to be about the Steelers. The Steelers don't look that great.
Dang.
Let's just be honest about it. Offensively, they don't look that great. Here's what I'll say, though. The formula that they're using, if they can keep living in that and keep continuing to get better, because it's Najee-driven.
Right.
Like, this offense now is about Najee Harris. And if he has success, they can have success. I saw Ben last night do some of the same things I've been seeing Ben do.
I don't know.
He tried to get 2 yards. He fell on his face. Bro.
They look better than I thought they would. I'll say that.
Great. It's the Bears.
Wow. What a turn of events. I get to be positive about the Steelers for once relative to someone else. Steelers fans always get mad at me for being critical. I'm not critical of the Steelers. I've been critical of Ben Roethlisberger. I think the skill players are good because they have to work for every yard. Dude, 55% of their yards come after the catch. Do you know how that second most in the NFL, the Lions, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, they are doing work. And then Najee Harris, I mean, he has nothing. He gets no easy runs. So I'm consistently impressed by the skill players week after week. It's not pretty, but with that defense, at least they're in games.
All right, guys. We'll check in back on everybody tomorrow because I feel like we left some things unsettled here, which is
better than
I
thought.
That'll do it for us. We're back at it tomorrow, as I said, at 4 Eastern. Right now, the college basketball season tips off. The top team in the women's game, South Carolina, starts the season on the road. A top 5 matchup against
NC State.
Enjoy this. Of course, you had to mention UConn. We'll see you tomorrow.